I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee, executive editor at Information Security Media Group, and I'm here at HIMSS speaking with Eric Decker, who is CISO of Intermountain Health. Eric is also co-chair of the 405D Cybersecurity Task Group that advises the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Marianne.
So, Eric, back in December, the Biden administration released a concept paper outlining a strategy for improving cybersecurity in the healthcare sector. Since then, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has issued guidance detailing essential and enhanced voluntary cybersecurity performance goals for the healthcare sector. What do you think of these essential and enhanced goals? How do they differ from what organizations should be doing under the HIPAA security rule, for instance, or by what's recommended by the Health Sector Coordinating Council's Health Industry Cybersecurity Practices, or HICCP, for instance?
Yes. Yes, I like to think of the CPGs as clarity to very specific adversarial tactics that bad actors are using. So the way we get beat today, by and large, is through hygiene issues or lack of hygiene. And the CPGs were actually written to take into consideration, first of all, HICCP, the cybersecurity framework, the 16 critical infrastructure CPGs that were announced 2 years ago. And, you know, and HIPAA, I mean, HIPAA has been around for almost 20 years now, the HIPAA security rule. And all of these are really, if you think about it in a nice Venn diagram, they all commingle with one another. The easiest way to think about the CPGs are they are very specific outcome statements that will help you drive resiliency inside your organization, and they map directly to HICCP. So if you've already done HICCP, then you actually have probably already done the CPGs. You should just go back and look at that specific outcome statement and see, are we meeting the intent of, you know, what that is. If you haven't done HICCP yet, well, then the outcome statement is going to tell you what you need to do, and HICCP will tell you the how to get there.
So, speaking of the Coordinating Council, it recently updated its 5-year strategic plan. What stands out about this plan? What's changed the most over the last 5 years? And how does this plan compare or contrast with what HHS has set out so far in terms of the Biden administration's plans for boosting healthcare cybersecurity?
Yeah, so first of all, I think the plan is for sure complementary of the National Cybersecurity Plan. You know, this plan essentially contemplates what do we need to do to get from critical condition that we're in today to stable condition by 2029. And we looked at the 5 major trends that are happening in healthcare. So things like convergence in mergers and acquisitions, emerging technology that's happening, hospital into the home, you know, those kinds of market pushes that are happening by the sector. And then ultimately, what are 10 goals that we need to face in order to achieve a stable environment, 12 objectives to actually do those goals, and a mobilization exercise. You know, the strategic plan, back in 2017, the original strategic plan that was released was called the HCIC Task Force Report. And so we took that, we took some of the earlier members of that group, and we updated all of that in the new landscape. I think some of the stuff that's changed, I mean, for sure, there has the financial pressure has been astronomical. The emerging technology, you know, the AI has been around for a long time, but the emergence of generative AI and large language models is really, you know, pushing the seams at stuff. And so this plan ultimately gives us the framework to work within in order to meet those challenges.
So the 5-year strategic plan from the Health Sector Coordinating Council kind of spotlights the idea of a 911 cyber civil defense. What might that look like? What do you envision, and do you think this will ever happen?
I want it to happen. you know, think of it as like mutual aid. You know, fire departments within, especially like rural areas, they don't have enough firefighters in one particular area to deal with a catastrophic issue. So they have mutual aid agreements with other firefighters. And if something happens and you need a 5, 6, 7, 10 alarm, you know, response, you can bring in those companies, those other fire departments, and do that. A mutual aid, a 911 for civil defense is like that. You know, it's how can Intermountain help others? You know, how can we either drop ship in cyber people or clinical people in order to deal with a response to other folks? How can the federal government actually enable responses like this? I mean, we know for a fact that some of the most important services in the middle of a ransomware attack are imaging services or lab services. Actually, even before the EMR needs to come back online, those need to be online. So there already exist today remote imaging solutions or the ability to drop ship mobile imaging systems into areas. Or why can't we stand up a cloud-based EMR that is just on the side, ready to turn on in the case of one of these very disruptive events to just kind of weather through it? So those are some examples. Are we going to get there? Boy, we're going to push hard on this. And the thing is, that's really insightful and just that's exciting is we have that partnership in place now. We spent the last 5 years, really establishing that. We have the ear of the highest levels of the United States government, and they all are nodding their heads saying we need to do something like this. Now it's just the means of how do we do it? Like, how do we actually accomplish it? So that's next.
So now HHS says it plans to update the HIPAA security rule. What sort of updates would you like to see? And is there a risk of an updated rule becoming too prescriptive?
Yeah, this is the classic thing. HIPAA security rule has been around for a long time. That's either a positive thing or it's a negative thing, in that it hasn't changed. So does that mean that it's weathered the test of time, which is the reason why it hasn't changed, or something else? I think we have to hit the balance between a level of uniformity of the very basic things that must be done. And, I really do believe that there is an environment of care for cybersecurity, and I do believe that the at least the essentials and the CPGs, meet that. And just like you don't go into an operating room without having the right environmentals in place, the right temperature, the right sterilized equipment, without scrubbing up, without masking up, and allowing everybody in that operating room to stop the procedure in the case of something dangerous going on, not just the surgeon. We don't have that in cyber in healthcare, and we need that. Some baseline that says this has to be at least the minimum. The thing that I worry about and that everybody worries about is everybody will just run to the minimum and then just say that's enough, and nothing is needed. We have to make that balance. I hope that the security rule, when that gets updated, will acknowledge the need for both. For sure, we'll provide that kind of input into it. And, but at the end of the day, we all must be thinking about this in an adversarial mindset. We are getting beat through hygiene. We are getting beat. If you look at the essentials and the CPGs, those are the methods by which we get initially compromised. And if we can get better at that defense, it's honestly going to be that much harder then for the bad guys to do what they do. And that's a good thing.
And Eric, you mentioned AI in healthcare. What are you watching in terms of potential impact on cybersecurity of healthcare organizations, both the good and the bad, when it comes to AI in healthcare?
Yeah, so this is very new. And I think the practical things that we've seen already are, the deep fakes and the ability to do very targeted attacks through AI. I've heard some very scary stories about people getting phone calls from their kids, and it's not their kids. It's just a couple of snippets of sound bites that have been thrown through an AI algorithm, and they were able to make it sound like that as an extortion mechanism, or using that to do more social engineering types of attacks. And I think as the AI models, that specifically the generative AI models, get better and more accurate, for sure they will use it after the basics that they're doing today are nullified. So we got to stay on course with that. I'm hearing a lot of stuff out there about self-replicating malware through I heard another one just the other day where it was an attack against like Copilot, where you send an email that has some embedded malicious code inside of it, and it causes Copilot to go out and do stuff. I mean, that's an interesting tactic. Nothing that I've seen actually materialize yet, but I could see that becoming a future thing. You know, just leveraging the AI models themselves to do bad and harm by triggering them in some method, you know, inside your environment. So just, we're going to have to keep an eye on that and keep at it.
And finally, what else are you keeping your eyes on these days with cybersecurity and the threats, particularly in healthcare and the impact to healthcare?
I mean, the biggest thing I'm focusing on right now is hygiene, and what I call hygiene to the edge, because it makes it sound so easy to just do hygiene, but it's not. I mean, like, we do it every day, all day. We're practicing good hygiene or bad hygiene. You know, when you fail to wash your hands the time you're supposed to wash your hands, that's a failure in hygiene. Unfortunately, in our space, that could be a technology that's on the internet, or it could be a third-party vendor that has a connection to us, and they failed something, and it just takes one little miss of that to cause the initial compromise and initial you know, activity of an incident. And you know, I think we have to. For me, it's about measuring that. Like, how do we get to a really more comprehensive understanding of where our hygiene is, and the continual nature of the performance of that hygiene, of those hygiene practices. And I think that's a really important skill, really important thing to have inside your arsenal.
Well, thank you so much, Eric. I've been speaking to Eric Decker. I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.